I'm sound. Do you not hear me? Okay, sorry. I had my volume turned down. Well, that explains a lot. Sorry about that. Well, welcome to the show, Republic Broadcasting Network. It's Patrick Slattery on National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, which I know I've said three or four times already, but it's important to remember because we are in our fundraiser and you need to go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the donate button and click on the donate button. What do you do after that? You send money. You send money of any currency, whether they be, rubles or Swiss franc or Greek drachma, which I don't think exist anymore, but you can send them all. And we will take them and do great things with them. So today I'm taking callers, and that number is 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. So today I wanted to talk about the birthright citizenship, that issue. Now, I believe it was last summer. It could have been the summer before, but I think it was last summer. I had a show with Professor Richard Sloan on this very issue. And I had originally thought, like a lot of other people, like a lot of people today, maybe like even Paul Ryan, I don't know what he thinks or if he thinks, but because I think somebody might be doing his thinking for him, frankly. But like a lot of people, I thought, oh yeah, birthright citizenship, yeah, it's too bad we need to change the Constitution to end it. And it was Richard Sloan who says, no, you got to go back, you got to read the source, you got to go back to the source. I thought, well, yeah, you go to the Constitution, and it says, all peoples subject to the jurisdiction, all peoples born on the territory of, I should have it in front of me, but all people born in the territory of the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof shall be considered citizens of the United States. Something very similar to that. I said, well, that's the source. He says, no, subject to the jurisdiction thereof. What does that mean? And I thought, well, you live here. He says, no, this was not part of the original draft of the 14th Amendment. And of course, we know the 14th Amendment, it was intended to ensure that the freed slaves, the slaves who were freed through the 13th Amendment, would be citizens. He says, no, that's you have to go back to the source, the source here being the congressional debate surrounding the ratification or surrounding the passage of the amendment. It's the states that ratify it. And he explained to me that there was a great deal of debate over just who would be granted citizenship. And that's why this subject to the jurisdiction thereof was added. So it was very clear that subject to the jurisdiction thereof didn't include the children of, it did not include the children of diplomats, for instance. Well, all right, diplomats, they have all sorts of special status. Well, who else didn't it include? Well, it didn't include Indians, what we call American Indians. In fact, most American Indians didn't get citizenship until 1924, the Indian Citizenship Act of 1924. Why? Well, because they were considered nations. They were considered sovereign nations. Now, they didn't have territory that they necessarily controlled. Well, reservations. They had the reservations. The reservations, they weren't internationally recognized states. But as far as American law and American citizenship law was concerned, the bulk of the American Indian population, those who were not paying taxes to the federal government, there were some who paid taxes. There were some who had earlier had been considered civilized tribes who had been paying taxes, but the vast bulk were not paying taxes and were not considered American citizens. They were citizens of their own nations. But by 1924, with the frontier had been closed decades earlier, and the reservations obviously didn't have the sovereignty of an independent state in the international system, and so the law was changed to conform with reality. The reality being that American Indians living within the boundaries of the United States were indeed subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. That was a fact. And so the citizenship law was specifically revised to conform to the reality. So when you consider this, then what about tourists? What about people here temporarily? And people here temporarily were not originally given citizenship, people here who were here temporarily. So this came about much, much later, and it was basically an administrative decision to grant everybody birthright citizenship. So now, but it has, excuse me, it has been for a number of decades, it has been the practice to grant U.S. citizenship to any individual who is born within the territorial boundaries of the United States, to everybody, including illegal aliens, people, including tourists, people on tourist visas from China or wherever. I guess Russia is also, it takes advantage of that with the birthright citizenship tourism. So that has been how the law has been implemented for the past several decades. And so we've got, well, there are estimates, I guess, anywhere up to 10% or more of births that are occurring in the United States are to illegal aliens. I guess if you throw in people here on temporary basis, it's over that. I don't have all the data with me, but it's very significant. And so President Trump has announced his intention to issue an executive order that is going to no longer grant birthright citizenship to the children of illegal aliens. Well, what's going to happen? Well, does anybody remember the travel bans, the so-called Muslim travel bans? What happened immediately with those is you had a Ninth Circuit judge or judge in, a federal judge in Maryland or in Hawaii or in Seattle. They issued rulings calling it unconstitutional on very, very flimsy grounds. The grounds, even though with the travel bans, the law is very clear that the president has it within his authority to limit or ban the entry into the country of people from nations that the president deems to be a national security risk. It was clearly within his legal boundaries as set by law, as set by statute, Yet these judges were saying, well, because his motivation was racist, as evidenced by his claim, you know, on his announcement speech that, or not in his announcement speech, I suppose it would have been in his campaign speech where he said, I, Donald J. Trump, do hereby call on the call on a complete and total ban of Muslim immigration into the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on. You recall that. Well, so that shows that his motive was racist, and therefore it's unconstitutional because of the because of the Statue of Liberty poem amendment. I don't know, but I mean, obviously, there's no valid constitutional ground for having struck down the travel ban, but they did it anyway. Now, with birthright citizenship, if he issues this executive order, you know it's going to be struck down, and the whatever judge is going to be able to cite the 14th Amendment. And if we look at it today, subject to the jurisdiction thereof, the judge is going to make the case that yes, everybody within our boundaries is subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. They have a case to make based on how somebody today might read that sentence. They have a case. It will go to the Supreme Court. Now, last month, and we're speaking on Halloween, happy Halloween, everyone. Last month, had this gone to the Supreme Court, last month it would have been a 4-4 split, presumably. In the month before, when Judge Kennedy was on, presumably, it would have, the judge striking down the executive order, that would have been upheld. In other words, the executive order would have been overturned, presumably. Now, with Judge Kavanaugh on, Judge Kavanaugh is considered an originalist. The originalists, presumably, including Alito and Neil Gorsuch and now his name slips my mind, the black guy, and Justice Roberts, and I apologize for saying the black guy, but his name slips my mind. Maybe Mr. T will get that information for me. Clarence Thomas, the five of them, hopefully including Judge Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, the five of them are considered to be originalists. And what do originalists do? They go back to the source. They go back what was intended by the words at the time, as opposed to what can be interpreted today, given the context of today. These originalists presumably would go back to what was the context in 1867, 68, when this was being proposed and passed. And presumably they are going to say that no, just as American Indians at the time were subject to the jurisdiction of, well, they might not want to cite that, but subject to the jurisdiction of their own nations, that the children of diplomats were subject to the jurisdiction of their home nations. And we'll be right back.
destroy something. So, okay, and am I broadcasting now? Okay. So, presumably, this is what's going to happen. It'll go to the Supreme Court. It might take a little while to get there, but it'll get to the Supreme Court. And the five originalists are going to go back to the source. They're going to look at the debate over the passage of the 14th Amendment. They're going to go to subsequent laws clarifying issues in the 14th Amendment. There's the Expatriation Act of 1868. There's an opinion written by the Attorney General in 1873. I'm just reading from Wikipedia right now, but I'm sure the justices will do a little bit better than read from Wikipedia. And presumably this will end the birthright citizenship for illegal aliens and for tourists. But people who are here, I don't know exactly how far it will go, but I assume that these are the two categories that are being targeted. We'll see when Trump actually issues the executive order, but presumably it's going to be illegal aliens and tourists, people here on tourist visa or tourist status. So we'll see. Now, I'm sure there's going to be people out there who are going to say, okay, and let's revoke all the citizenship of all the people who were born of illegal aliens and were granted passports. I don't see that as being in the cards at all. That would be much, much more difficult. But there will be people calling for it. There will be people who listen to the show who will be calling for it. I think that makes that would make the whole case that much more difficult. The Supreme Court much less likely to uphold it. And, you know, sometimes you have to accept a certain amount of water under the bridge. That's what I call Putinism. Now, I've called Trumpism the effort to try to restore the United States to something that would have been recognizable to people in Donald Trump's childhood, say the 1950s, to restore it to something that would be recognizable to them. Not the same, not to turn back the clock, but to something, some sort of future that they could have envisioned through constitutional means, through the legal means. To me, Putinism is changing the laws, but accepting what was legal before you change the laws, accepting that, basically grandfathering that, but moving forward with a different system. That's Putinism to me. Okay, we will be back after the break.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN.org, RepublicBroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send drachma. Okay, well, and I'm taking callers, it's 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. So we're talking about immigration today. Immigration is a very, very, very serious issue. I'm a lifelong peace activist, and so I would still put the potential of nuclear war with Russia above that. And, you know, I've been seeing, oddly enough, given, you know, where the hippies were in the 1960s and whatnot, and where the Reaganites, well, the Republicans had been in much of the Cold War, oddly enough, seeing from the left this push for sanctions and also, and just aggressiveness towards Russia, referencing the Cold War with Russia. How are we going to handle this Cold War? Which it's just appalling to me, and it is coming. It's coming from the left, and it's coming because not because they even care about Russia, but because Orange Man is bad, Trump is bad, and he's Putin's puppet because CNN says so or whatever. But and that could happen at any time. But immigration is, I guess it's kind of the difference between being killed by being run over by a truck or being killed by more slowly cancer or some other disease, being killed by a disease that takes some time. They both kill you. So the immigration is becoming front and center. You know, it was in the mind, obviously, of the I'm taking this at face value, the wicked moron who perpetrated the shooting last Friday or Saturday. It's in people's minds. And with this declaration of the intention to issue an executive order banning birthright citizenship, it's may well be the number one issue in the midterm elections, and perhaps Donald Trump has done this by design. You know, the midterm elections could go either way, and it's hard to control the narrative. And the narrative had been on Kavanaugh, and now Kavanaugh is suddenly seeming like old news. And you had the pipe bomb, which was a hoax, you know, pretty hoaxy, whatever, pretty strange. If it's not a hoax, then it's just some admittedly cognitively disabled person who didn't know how to assemble bombs and sent them off to, you know, various people. It's really hard to get too excited about that. Now this new thing, which some people claim is a false flag, I don't, but whatever. That dominates the news cycle now. The Birthright Citizenship Declaration, that is going to be likely dominating the news cycle for these last 6 days before the election. And it should work in Donald Trump's favor because, let's face it, the idea of granting U.S. citizenship to hordes and hordes of people who are coming in, and you're seeing the caravans coming in illegally, but saying, we don't care, we're coming in anyway. And then, of course, any children we have, you're going to have to give them birthright citizenship. And the question becomes, who controls our immigration policy? And back in 1992 or 91, Senator Eugene McCarthy, who had been a co-sponsor of the 1965 Immigration Act, he wrote a book called The United States Today, The Colony of the World. And he was making the point that because of the legislation he co-sponsored, he was doing a mea culpa, because of that legislation and subsequent developments, the immigration policy was not in the hands of the American government, not in the hands of American bureaucrats. Immigration policy was in the hands of immigrants. It was in the hands of immigrants. 75% of green cards are issued to family members of immigrants, family reunification or chain migration. But it is the immigrants who have the initiative. They apply for these green cards, they sponsor the people, and the government is expected to rubber stamp it. Similarly, illegal aliens come over and have a baby, or tourists, Chinese tourists, who come over and have a baby. They are in control of our immigration policy, and the federal government stamp back right after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech. Quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button and help keep RBN alive. We have Paul from New Jersey. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Paul.
Patrick, you know, when you talk about immigration, I consider immigration not only a form of social engineering, it's also a form of genetic engineering, because really what's going to happen with these migrants over time, many of them will assimilate, and their genes are going to be, you know, mixed into the generally European population's gene pool.
Mm-hmm. It will happen.
And what will happen is, well, their hair will get darker generally. There will be fewer people with blue eyes. An interesting statistic, I looked this up, is only about 4% of the world's population is blue-eyed.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to be one of those people. And so
you and Frank Sinatra.
And a lot of other people. Actually, about 300 million blue-eyed people throughout the world.
And what's the guy's name? Pharaoh? What's his name? Not Mia Pharaoh's son?
Supposedly. Yeah, Rowan Pharaoh.
Yeah. He's got blue eyes, too.
There's
a connection there.
And I like to argue the whole immigration thing, and in a biological thing, I like to compare it with birds in a sense. You know, for one, environmentalists would be, you know, go to incredible lengths to set aside land and try to preserve an endangered bird, to preserve it for its unique qualities. And an interesting side note is that in Roger Torrey's Peterson's book on Eastern American birds, which is the definitive guide for bird watchers, and this was written in the 80s, he does allude to birds and calls them as races, certain mm-hmm. birds with, you know, slight different characteristics in comparison with others. But I find it interesting that since European people are the only people with blue eyes, green eyes, blonde hair, or red hair, which no other race in the world has, you know, objective biologists, seeing them in decline as they're taken over by, let's say, the other birds or people, they would do what they could to save this species in decline or the subspecies. And so that's part of my issue concerning immigration. It's not like I don't really like the other races. It's really because I prefer the prettier birds, the prettier races, and I find that European people, on the aggregate, particularly among the women, have the most beautiful women we have in our racial group, the most beautiful women in the world. And I believe that's something I want to promote. Now, have you ever noticed, even so many commercials and advertisers, they love to promote, you know, Cosmo magazine. Let's be honest. They put generally European women on the cover of those magazines.
Or, and this is very interesting, they put on light-skinned black women.
That's very, very common.
The black women who have the most European characteristics are very common, but they almost never put on women who have much more Negro characteristics.
Yeah, and it's interesting, and this kind of is like the in the media, the, you know, I guess the incremental acceptance of blacks is first they start with the quadroons, then it goes to the mulattoes, then full blacks, and even among blacks, lighter skinned blacks, women are preferred through when it comes to famous basketball players and their mate selections for what traits they see as desirable.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I observed, I remember in the 90s, they used to have this, I think it was a Budweiser commercial, and it was the Swedish bikini team.
Right.
And I remember remarking how, notice, let's be honest, if the caravan coming up from Honduras was comprised of the Swedish bikini team, I don't think Donald Trump would have a problem accepting them into the United States, his bedroom, for that matter.
I think it probably would contain his ex-wives or future wives, but...
exactly. And this is what I'm saying about the... You know, that we have to be honest, and this is basically, listen, people on an individual basis practice racism through their mate selection. And we have to be honest about that. We have to defend people's right, because the way these Marxists are going with their authoritarianism, it seems like in another 20 years, we'll be forced to marry people who are African, whether we like it or not, just to get everybody to mix in, you know. And that's the disturbing element of the Calgary plan, you know, and the naivete and the failed biology of the Calgary plan, because...
Calgary, or how do you say it? Calgary?
Yeah, I forget. Calgary is what I hear. But we discussed him and his psychological issues, because him being half Japanese, you know, I think he was lashing out at Europeans because he was jealous. But my point is, how they fail is they think if the race is all mixed, they think that solves racism. And the reality is, you're still going to have those occasional blonde recessive traits popping out on some people, right? You're going to have the occasional blue eyes popping out. And you're going to still have gradation of skin color despite anything they even try to do. You're going to have lighter skin and darker skin people. And again, as what you can see through general mate selection, I think it's almost a universal principle where males choose lighter skin women. And that's why we see a migration of whiteness towards the ruling elite, because the darker, swarthier males, when powerful, when given a choice, they generally are going to go to the fair-complected, fair-haired women.
Right. That's certainly been the experience of the past many centuries.
Yeah, and a great example.
And not just in Europe, not just in the New World, but the Indian subcontinent as well, which had the Indo-European so-called Aryan invasion a couple thousand years ago.
Yeah, and many of the people in the the ladies in these tropical climates, they'll cover their skin in order to keep their skin lighter for social power, because again, when it comes to sex selection, it seems to be universal where males choose the lighter-skinned females.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that might be inverted in some place, because like in a Sweden where so many people are going to be fair-skinned, the exotic, swarthier type might be selected because it's exotic and different. So that does happen. But the universal principle still is that people select, the males do. The fair-haired women.
Yeah, there's, I mean, what you say certainly is reasonable, and there's a lot of data to back it up. Now, here's the thing. So that's what you've been talking about. That's kind of a description of the reality and, you know, of history. It's descriptive. Now, prescriptive. For the future, where are we going? And here's the thing. So, you know, there's a whole range of possibilities. There is a wide spectrum, or spectrum is kind of one-dimensional. Maybe there's more than one dimension. But there's a wide range of possible scenarios, of possible approaches. Now, one is to do nothing, to just go with the flow. And that's the direction it seemed to be, where we would be. You know, whites would be a racial minority within the country in 2038, or originally they were saying 2045 at some point. You know, then a smaller and smaller minority. That's doing nothing. A restoration of America 1950 or even further. You know, the white ethnostate, that's another extreme. And then there's all sorts of things in the middle. Okay, well, the first, doing nothing, leads to what you were talking about, basically, you know, the genetic destruction, or at least the genetic termination of the white race. And so that's, for a lot of people, that's losing. The other extreme that might seem like an ideal, but realistically, can you see a path to it? It's really, really difficult to see a path to it. So then we're left with, okay, how much water under the bridge do we accept? Now, Trumpism or Putinism, I think that this executive order, this is forward-looking. It terminates birthright citizenship and of course, birthright citizenship is only one issue. It's only one part of the overall immigration/demographic issue. It's one, but it's important. That's forward-looking. I would not expect any movement at all towards retroactively taking away the citizenship of children of illegal aliens who already have it. Whether it should be or shouldn't be, I don't see it happening. But I'm throwing that out there. I'm throwing the ball back into your court, Paul.
Well, yeah, you started your show wanting to focus on that issue. And I think Trump is doing actually quite a brilliant thing, because, A, it's a little red meat for his base, for the nationalists out there, without saying it. And B, it's going to be interesting to see whether, you know, some enterprising lawyers are going to want to take it to the Supreme Court, but they may not be happy, because I think it's very likely the result will be that they will deny birth rights to...
Yeah.
Foreigner children born by foreigners in America.
I think Kavanaugh on the court, that this is doable, and it wasn't doable before, but it's doable now.
Yeah, so I wonder if Trump will set up a lawyer, a conservative lawyer, playing, you know, filing the lawsuit, you know, suing yourself to get the result you wanted.
Yeah, so, I wouldn't know.
So if it is, it's actually a brilliant move by Trump, and it would be excellent red meat to his base. And he does, by the way, need to start delivering to his base. Because, you know, I supported Trump. I'm pretty much one of those white nationalist, like who would be attacked in the media, but
Who have to be denounced. Who have to be denounced. When he went to the synagogue a couple days ago, that's what they were. All the demonstrators, or not all of them, a lot of them would reject Trump on any basis, but others were saying, he has to denounce white nationalism first.
Well, in a sense, when you denounce white nationalism, you're saying you don't think there should be any white nations, in my opinion. And so my point is, and that's why I am a white nationalist, I think we should have white nations. I think we should, in order to, just like I said, getting back to my species argument, is that, I mean, I really like the thought that Sweden just would remain all white, filled with ethnic racial Swedes, as like to keep the world diverse. And by the way, they evolved there. Those are the traits that are best suited for that environment. And just like, can't we preserve, like by the way, to preserve any other species in its ecosystem, you know what I mean, in its indigenous climates and native land, why not? Can't we set aside lands aside for whites? Can't we set aside lands aside for Asians unmolested by Europeans or Africans? I mean, everybody has the right to a place under the sun. And this is where I think Mr. Bowers lashed out, is, and it does seem there is a concerted Jewish effort and hostility by the likes of a Barbara Spector, who are really hostile to a white homeland or homelands exclusively set aside or allowed. And why should they even be allowed? I mean, these are the people, all of Europe, you know, for millennium, they were always white. And for some reason, saying we have a right to our destiny of our people in our territory, which in Darwinian terms would be considered a sign of fitness among an animal's species, right, to be able to defend and keep your territory intact. They make that basically natural evolutionary trait, which is supposed to be good and strong in Darwinian terms, they make it sound evil or wrong. And so that's the, you know, the part of the condition of the white race today is just standing up for our own group, our own, race, is considered evil. And I wish the biologists out there, like the Edward O. Wilsons, right?
I've met him, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I remember talking about him some years ago. And he was, I think, somewhere in the University of Wisconsin, basically telling, obviously, mostly white young girls of, you know, like of birthing age. And he's scaring them with his environmentalism into sterility, the fittest, best whites. Right, this biologist, a white man, a white Gentile. You know what I mean?
With racial awareness, by the way, a certain amount at least.
Yeah, and I thought to myself, why doesn't he go to India or Bangladesh and tell them about environmental destruction and scare their women into having fewer children?
Well, they might not be in the least bit susceptible to that type of scaring anyway. It may well be that Europeans are more susceptible because of altruism or whatnot to wanting to save the planet by restricting their own reproduction.
Well, yeah, but I just remarked on here a biologist who should know better. You know what I mean? And a biologist, I say any smart biologist who's white should de facto become a white nationalist. You know, because white nationalism, to me, is the natural extension of Darwinism and biological thinking. And you know the quote by Hermann Hesse, remember? Rudolf Hess. Rudolf Hess had said that national socialism is nothing more than applied biology.
Okay. Well, so we're coming up on the break. We have a short segment afterwards. If you want to hang on, Paul, you can.
No, thank you, Patrick. Thank you for letting me speak.
And we'll be talking. Thank you for calling. I always enjoy your input. And we'll be right back after the break.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life.
Welcome back to the show. Those are the smooth sounds of Gilbert Applebag. I just love that music. It's great to have a talent like him on Fridays to talk to. And I just want to say, a lifetime Commander membership for $500 sounds like a pretty good deal to me. Okay, well, we just have a few minutes left. Some people might not like hearing this, but races, if we're starting to get a lot of data, genetic data, from these old skeletons that are thousands or even tens of thousands of years old, even Neanderthal skeletons, we're getting a lot of genetic data from them now, and there's been races throughout human history. But the racial structure of the world has changed. And it seems, according to David Reich, who's Jewish, but who I think is a very good and honest scientist, that the European race as we know it is actually relatively new. And a lot of people would say, no, we've been around since before the Ice Ages. We've been around for 100,000 years. Well, I don't know what difference that makes. We have our rights, regardless of whether the European race is relatively new, since the times of the pyramids, basically, or whether it's ancient. We're here. And if it's new, gosh, the idea being that you had these three different races that came together in Europe after the Ice Age. One at a time, mixing in different amounts, which is why part of the reason why Italians and Lithuanians tend to look a little bit different, because they have different proportions of these three ancestral races. But the thing is, those three races came together, created a European race, an identifiable European race, which then exploded with technology and science and understanding and art and created the modern world. you would think that that might be something worth preserving. Last thing I'll say is you have seen races mix usually very slowly. It's usually a very slow process. What's going on now is a very, very fast process, which is probably not particularly common, except for conquest and genocide, which is why people are using these words. But it does happen. And, you know, we have to, but when it happens, whether it's even, whether it's slow or rapid, there are, there's fallout, there's winners and losers. And you see this from the genetic data. When you have large scale immigration, these people coming in many, many cases, historically, you get differential access to resources, including to women. And this is very clear in the genetic data. When races come together, it's rarely on an equal, harmonious basis. It's always on an unequal basis. And what you're seeing in America today and in Europe today is the native white population is being disadvantaged. This is an issue that we're going to have to talk about frequently. I want to thank Paul for calling in, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.